as I mentioned, we are looking at in the Westminster Confession of Faith in the afternoons, we are looking at the sacraments. And the sacraments are part of what we call the means that God has given to his church for the growth of the church, or as we sometimes say, the means of grace. So the sacraments then are part of what God uses to grow our faith and to strengthen our faith. The preaching of the gospel is a means of grace. So week after week, as we hear the gospel preached, we grow in our faith. But the sacraments are also part of that. And now the sacraments do that in a different way, in a more graphic way. But they still, in a sense, simply preach the gospel. They convey the gospel, they convey Christ, they convey the blessings of Christ through the sacraments, in this case through the bread and wine. And so that's kind of just a reminder about what the sacraments are about. Today specifically, as we look at the Lord's Supper, I want us to think a little bit about a table that has been prepared. You can imagine at home, you've invited some guests over, you've set the table, you've set all the plates out nicely, and maybe the knives and the forks and all the things, and you've prepared the food, you've put it on the table, and the guests come, and so you have a host, you're the host. You have the food, the feast on the table, and you have these guests coming. And I want to kind of look at the table in that, at the Lord's table this morning in that sense. We have the table prepared, we have the host, we have the feast itself, and we have the guests. So firstly, let's look at the host of the table of our Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, as Shane read it to us, "For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and he gave it," and so forth. Who is the host of the table? It is Jesus himself. You see, as we come to the table this morning, it might be tempting to think, I'm kind of here. I'm handing out the elements, and I say the words, and I read the scripture, and so forth, and I kind of direct things, or maybe the elders as they come forward, or maybe even the deacons as they've prepared the table this morning. You might be tempted to think maybe one of us is the host. But in fact, at the Lord's table, Jesus is the host. He is the one who invites us this morning. He is the one who sets out the banquet. He calls you to come and to dine with him. He wants us to sit around the table with him and find our fulfillment in him. Last week, when we looked at baptism, we looked at the context, baptism sitting in the context of the covenant. The covenant of grace, and we kind of did this very broad sweep, very quick broad sweep of Scripture, Old and New Testament. But when we think of covenant, we're thinking of relationship. God calls us into a relationship with him, into covenant. But the question is, who is the one who calls? Who is the one who brings us into covenant with him? It's God himself. Who is the one who makes these promises in the covenant? It's God himself. "I will be your God," he says. "You will be my people." Who is the one who supplies everything we need to be able to keep the stipulations, the commands of the covenant? God himself. You see, God is the one who institutes, who supplies, who gives promises, who allows us and enables us to keep the covenant. It is all from God himself through our Lord Jesus. And so in the supper as well, as it's part of this is part of the sacrament of the covenant. Again, we have the host, Jesus himself. It's about God's relationship with his people. Jesus calls. The host, you see, is the focus. We take from his hands, not from my hands. we take from his hands. That's really, really important. The church in Corinth was in a mess. And we didn't read verse 17 through to 22, but maybe if you just scan your eyes over 17 to 22. The reason for this teaching about the Lord's Supper was because it was a mess. You know, people were coming to the supper, to what was in that day called, at least church history tells us they're called love feasts and so forth. But they were coming with their own food. So some people brought lots of food. Some people who were of little means, because remember there were slaves and so forth in those days as well. They came to Christ, and so maybe some of these slaves came and they had next to nothing. So some had lots, some had nothing. And it seems that we're bringing a fair whack of wine as well, at least some of them were, and they were getting drunk, while others had nothing. And the Apostle Paul, he's reprimanding them. He's saying, what's going on here? Don't you realize it is Jesus himself? Jesus is the host of this feast. It was from the Lord that I am delivering this to you, from the Lord himself, Jesus, on that night that he was betrayed. He came, he took the bread, he gave the bread. It comes from him. You don't come in your own strength. You don't come by yourself. You don't come bringing whatever you feel like bringing, and I'll bring lots of it, as if the gospel, which is what the Lord's Supper speaks about, as if the gospel is about you. No. You come in Christ. It's the host that bids you come. The gracious Lord who gave his life. The gracious Lord on that night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, as he's about to go to the cross, as he's about to give his life, all that he had, bear the eternal punishment of your sin on himself so that you might be set free. He is the one who in love and mercy calls you. He's also the one who is responsible for the feast, the one who gives the feast, who sets out the feast. As we'll see in a minute when we look at the feast, but he's the one who's prepared it. He's the one who set it out. He's the one who gives it to us. You see, all that we have before us, what we have before us is not just physical elements. We'll see that again. We'll see that in a minute. They're not just physical elements, but this, what we have is a spiritual meal. It's a spiritual meal, pointing to what he has purchased for us. At the table this morning, Jesus the host calls us. You know, the church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, some of us know that. But there's this the Laodicean church, and that was a kind of a half-hearted church. You may know those. We looked at the seven churches quite some time ago now, but the Laodicean one was the last one. She was lukewarm. She was neither hot nor cold, and the Lord Jesus said, look, I wish that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm gonna spit you out of my mouth. And this is what he says to her: those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. He hasn't entirely rejected her. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous, repent. And then he says this: behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is to this half-hearted church. I stand at the door and knock. And what does he say? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine and eat with him, and he with me. You see, Jesus, as it were, stands at the door and knocks and invites us to come, enter in, and eat with him. So Jesus is the host. Secondly, the feast. The feast is the bread and wine. And here in front of us, we have physical bread and wine. So when we come here and we take some bread, it's bread. And it remains bread. And children, if you don't believe me, come up afterwards, and if there's some bread left, ask the deacons to show you. Is this real? Is this real bread? Is it still real bread? It's still real bread. It's bread. And it stays bread. And it doesn't change from bread into something else. It remains bread. But they point to something. They mean something. And when you don't understand what it means, it has no meaning, right? So, I think I've used this illustration before, but a kiss has meaning. Now, in some ways, if you're from somewhere, if you're from the moon, pretend you lived on the moon, you've just lived there by yourself for ages, and you come to Earth and you see people kiss, and you think, oh, what is that? That's gross. That's unhygienic, amongst other things, right? Because you have no clue what that means, and you don't know the expression of love. You don't understand the depth of meaning. And so it is with what Christ gives to us this morning. If we don't understand the meaning, it just kind of passes us by. And then it's just a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine, and so what? So the bread and the wine, they represent Christ himself. It's about his blood shed. It's about his body given for his people. Not a physical meal. It is a bit of that. But it's not mainly and primarily, it's not a physical meal. What you are, it's a spiritual meal. And as we come and partake, we are spiritually taking of Jesus Christ, not merely some bread and some wine. What is offered at the table this morning, the feast that we are offered, is Jesus himself. Jesus the host offers himself this morning. Remember in John chapter 6, when Jesus just fed the 5,000, right? And the people are going, wow, this is great. You know, let's make this man king and so forth. And then he kind of dismisses the crowd and he goes away. But then afterwards they come again. And Jesus says, what you need is to eat, not just some bread. Even the manna that God gave to the people of Israel in the wilderness, you know, the people ate it and they died. What you need is something much more than that. You need me. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You need to take me into yourself. Now, of course, Jesus isn't speaking about actually physically eating him. It's the offer of the gospel, you see. And Jesus says this morning, as Jesus said in John chapter 6, you need me. I am offering myself, all that I am, to you. And he says, take of me. And all that I've done for you, I now offer to you. All that I've done on the cross to purchase your redemption, to set you free, to take your guilt, to take your punishment, to bear the wrath of God for your sin, I willingly take that. I willingly drink the cup of the wrath of God to the bitter end, so that you might be my people. You see, that's what Christ offers this morning again. In many ways, it's like the preaching of the gospel, week after week after week. You hear the summons. You hear what we realize our own sin and our own guilt. We realize what, and we're pointed to what Christ has done for us, and we're called to believe. And this isn't just one of these one-time acts. You know, finally I've seen my sin. I've turned to Christ and I've been given a new heart and I now live for him. No, this is what we need over and over and over again throughout our lives. We need to be offered Jesus again and again. And so the question really is what we do with that offer, right? We believe by faith. We take hold of Christ as he offers himself to us. In other words, will you believe this? Will you accept it? Will you come to him? And will you take of him? So at this Lord's Supper this morning again, it is the gospel coming to you and to me. It is the good news of Jesus. Jesus says, here, take of me, eat of me, drink of me, all that I've done. Take and drink of all that I have done. Accept and believe. All that you need is in me. You see, it's not merely a physical meal. It's a spiritual meal. We're going to sing in a few moments. From number 382 in Horatius Bonar, he says, "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face," speaking about the Lord's Supper. "Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen." It's not just the bread and it's not just the wine, but here coming to me again are things that I cannot see. I need spiritual eyes. I need the eyes of faith to see and to believe. "Here grasp with firmer hand the eternal grace and all my weariness upon thee lead. Here would I feed upon the bread of God." So we are fed with Jesus himself, and we need faith to receive it. Finally, the guests. So Jesus is the host who bids us, who calls us. He is the feast of whom we partake. We are called to accept and believe by faith. What then, as we come, those who will believe in him, what then do we do, or what are we doing at the table as we come? I have three things that we are doing at the table. Firstly, we are communing with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, so you have to turn a page or two back. In verse 16, we have there, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?" That word participation is fellowship, or if you know anything about the Greek, the koinonia. This is a depth of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, John chapter 6, "Unless you eat of me and drink of my blood, you have no part in me." We say this sometimes. I remember somebody once said, it was actually my sister. She grabbed one of her nieces or nephews, I can't remember, and she just kind of hugged them really tight and said, "Oh, you're so cute, I could eat you up." And I'm thinking, "Oh, I hope you're not going to eat them up, right?" Or we say things like, "I'm hungering for your presence," or "I'm thirsty for your company." We use those terms. It says something about the relationship. The negative, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the negative is you can eat at the temples, and then you are, verse 20, "I do not want you to be participants with demons." You can eat at the temples with the idols, then you're participants with demons. But no, I want you to commune with me. I want you to be participant in fellowship with me. This participation, this fellowship, you see, is like a marriage, much deeper, but a marriage is a handy analogy. You're joined to the person. You're one flesh, not just a physical union. There's something much, much deeper than that. But you can't be married and live like you're not. It doesn't work. And so it is with union with Christ, or communion with Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. What happens to him happens to us, spiritually speaking. As he bore our sin on the cross, he did it for us and in our place, so that all his benefits become ours. And so as we eat at the table, we are in that sense communing with him. All his benefits, everything that he gives, is ours. We feed on him. We're taking of Christ, and we are being with him. That's what we do at the table. But at the table, we also remember him. Chapter 11 now, verse 24 and 25. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, this remembrance of me isn't merely a memorial service. You know, sometimes in funerals we have what we call a memorial service, and maybe up on the screen, you know, maybe there's some photos of the person that's passed away, and all these things come to mind as to what this person was and how that person affected us, and in whatever way that person affected us. That can be a wonderful thing to do, but that's not what the Lord's Supper is about. Because if it was merely a memorial service, all we'll be doing is kind of going in on ourselves and trying to think about, you know, everything that the Lord Jesus did. What a wonderful man he was, and all that he did, his miracles and so forth. And there's a sense where all we do is we turn in on ourselves. But Jesus doesn't call us to turn in on ourselves. Jesus calls us to turn to him and to look to him. We turn back to the host. He says, here is my blood. Here is my body. Take them, receive eternal life. And the eyes of faith set themselves on Jesus. Remember the story of Moses in the wilderness? There's quite a lot of stories of Moses in the wilderness, but when there were the snakes in the camp, because the people had rebelled against God and all these snakes went around the camp and lots of people were dying because they were biting the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, Moses, make a bronze serpent. And so Moses made the bronze serpent, and he held up the bronze serpent on a pole. And the idea was, and Moses told the people, look to the serpent and you will have life. Look up. Look at the serpent. How's that going to help you? Look up. Look to the serpent and you will have life. And so Jesus says to you and to me this morning, look to me. Look at who I am. Look at what I've done for you. Look at me and live. So what do we do at the table? We commune with Christ, we remember Christ, and then we proclaim his death. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. If the bread and the wine are pointing to the gospel of our Lord, or are the gospel of our Lord, we take, we hear, we receive, and we experience the gospel again. Well, what we do is we pass it on to one another. There's a sense, isn't there, where we pass it on to one another. You know, we grab the plate maybe, we pass it on to the next person, and they pass it on to the next person. And it's as if we're saying, here is the gospel. Here is the Savior given for you. Take of him. Believe in him. Trust this Savior. And so we're proclaiming the gospel to one another. It creates new bonds of love and fellowship amongst us. Not just bonds about, you know, like what we have in common, but bonds around the host, around the feast. Bonds that are centered on the Savior and on what he's done. And so the Lord's Supper this morning is merely, if I may use the word merely, it's not merely, but it's the gospel again. And the gospel coming to us again. It's dramatic in a sense. It's Jesus saying to us, here, take of me. This is how much I love you. And we open the door of faith, and he comes and he dines with us. Let's pray together. Our Father, may we indeed dine with our Lord this morning. We praise you and thank you for this wonderful feast. We thank you for your condescension. We thank you for the love that you have revealed in Christ. And we thank you for the reminder of the Savior. Grant us to be truly fed and nourished at the table of our Lord this morning. And may we fix our eyes on the Savior who has given his all for his people. Oh, Father, be here among us, we pray. Lord, if there are any here this morning that do not have those eyes of faith, would you point them and would you grant them to see the wonders and the beauty of our glorious Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.